You can divide our world into three parts. You can always divide our world into three parts. And he's dividing into three parts. There's the essence of the world, there's what goes on in the world, and then there's the choices that people make. The choices that people make those choices. But the essence of the world, the very existence of the world, and the events or the occurrences, or the things that are required, that has nothing to do with a person's choice. It's malachim, or in charge of them. That's their job. Hashem creates beings that have no choice. He creates beings with his will, that the only thing they see is Hashem's will. You know, they have two choices in front of them, Hashem's will or Hashem's will. That's malachim. And they're empowered to supervise the essence of this world. I mean, they don't govern our choices, but they do the essence of this world. The Atzmius and the Mikra. And then we have Messiah. Well, I'm the Mikra Mitzias Olam. If you want to know what the root is of our existence, the Mikra Mitzias.
Our existence?
Matzav HaMitim. What's the root? What's the core? What is the core of our existence? And what level do we exist? And that's where we're meant to exist. And that's where we come from. And that's where we are. And that's our main existence. Is b'kaychus hayim al-yayinim. That's in the olam al-yayinim, the upper worlds. That's where we really are. That is where we are. We're not even necessarily aware of this.
You understand that a kid in fourth grade cannot learn.
Yaakov Avinu, for example, Yaakov Avinu went through a tremendous degree of risk and effort to steal the brachas away from Esau. It must have been important to him. Otherwise he wouldn't have done it. You read the brachas. The brachas read as follows: V'yit l'chal l'kim v'tal shemayim mishmanei aretz rev dagan v'tirosh, that you should have rain and you should have a lot of corn and grain. What was so important about these brachas? The Yaakov was willing to risk everything in order to get there. What? It's the future of it's physical things. You know, what's it, what do you need a special bracha? Let me ask you another. What do you need a special bracha for? That you should have rain, you should have dew. You do what you gotta do. You do Torah mitzvahs. Dive into God. What? Does God want you to starve if you're a tzaddik?
Probably not.
Like, what do you need a special bracha for these things? What's left? What were you laughing at?
You do what you gotta do.
You do what you gotta do is tell you. You do what you gotta do.
You
get what's due to you. In due time. Pray, tell, do.
What?
There's something about these brokers. There's something about these brokers. And additionally, Asa was also quite distraught. He invested effort into getting those brachas. He's also quite distraught that he didn't get them. What did he see in the brachas? Did Yaakov and Esav see the same thing in the brachas? Did he see it? And the Torah says, Nein! Nein! Until you take a guy that doesn't know a word of Hebrew. Nothing. And you show him this. Do you know what he says about it? What's his observation?
Pretty tree.
It's a rectangle. It's green. It's not very solid.
It's a book.
It's a book, yeah. It doesn't mean it. And that's what he sees. You give it to him as a present.
It goes up on a shelf.
Thank you so much. It goes on the shelf. And it looks nice. and he appreciates it. There's a lot of people with books on their shelves that the point of those books is that they look nice. No, there was one, I don't remember which Adam Gadol this happened with. I think it was with Rabbanit Vera Leibowitz. I hope that to be forgiven if I'm wrong, but I think it was Rabbanit Vera Leibowitz that he went to a doctor's office and he saw like a bookcase attached to the wall. Looked like actually it was built into the wall. You know, it came out of the wall this way. Looked like it was a bookcase that was built in. It was gorgeous! And it was the most beautiful shots there. He loved looking at that shots while he's waiting. And he goes over to the thing with anticipation. No, it's a different story. He tries to pull it out. It wasn't a built-in bookcase. It was only like a few inches. It was called a bass relief or something. I don't know what you call it. Bass relief. But it was so good.
It was fake?
Yeah, it wasn't built into the wall. It was only, it was very shallow. And it was like a work of art representing a safer sticking out of a bookcase.
Wow.
A whole shot's like that. It must have been gorgeous. He said, that's what a shot is in America. It looks nice on the shelf and nobody has to use it. So what do you need, you know? It's like I always say, you make a fancy party. You make a shalom zaka for the men, you make a shalom zaka for the ladies. So better men, you have kishka and kugel and arbis and papitas and all the cookies and cake and beer. You have everything, more beer. And by the ladies, you have plastic flour, you have plastic food. With plastic cookies and cake and melon, it's gorgeous.
But the baby's over there.
And you have one cookie on each plate. At the end of the shalom zaka, someone will go over and break it in half and eat a quarter of what they took. They have a lot of money. I don't have any. It's gemach, you know? Plastic food gemach. For the lady section.
Really?
You think I always
go
in the
lady
section for
anything? Not a kiddish, not a shalom
zaka. Yeah, no, it's whatever. When all the food's eaten by the men. So you go over to the ladies section, because you come like, don't get it, you'll find a child over there. Plastic and marvelous. So it's appreciated. It's a safer. You show something safer. It's appreciated. It's nice. But if I show you, you are Tamid HaChachamim. You are Tamid HaChachamim. Yes, you are Tamid HaChachamim. Even though you came late today. Inexcusable. Came late because of sushi. I show you this. Tarek Hashem. Ooh, you know what that is? You've been exposed to it. It changed your life. That means something to you. Because you see it on another level. You don't just see its shape and its texture and the color. That's true. It's all true. But you see it on another level. V'yitam l'chol akim. God should grant you. Mital shemayim. From the dew of the heavens, from the fat of the land.
But
is there
anything that's actually changed
my life? My life is constantly changing. You know what changed my life today? That I had a chabura, guys, and we shtied, and we did Gemara, Rashi, Taisus, Rajba, Ridva, Shita Mikubetsis, my show, no it's not. We all did it.
Rambam,
some cypher, two some cyphers.
What changed your life because of that?
Kiva Eger, it was awesome.
What changed?
We pwned and it changed my life.
What changed?
I'm a different person than I was before I did that.
No, it doesn't make sense though.
Number one is I got to go through all that. I made a connection with all that. Number two, I did it with a group. So I got closer to the group. And as a group, we came together for one purpose. And now we are no longer alone. We are part of one oneness. There was Zeka to the Emes. You have no idea what I'm talking about because all I said to you was rectangles. You saw, it's a rectangle. Rabbi Siegel is a rectangle. The depth, you're missing the depth. Let's lift ourselves up, Rabbi Siegel. Let's lift ourselves up. The ikur of a person is what's going on in Shemayim. Yaakov Avinu, I'll tell you over Shalom. Should I tell you over Shalom? Ashallah. Ashallah. Shin Lam and Apostrophe Hey. Bishaya Alevi Horowitz. Shallah, yeah. Only if you really want to hear it, though. He says that we go through life, and he's talking about people that have emunah, and people that understand what it is to learn Torah, and people that understand what it is to look at the creation that was crafted, that was created by God, and go through life with a misconception. There's a fire in the fireplace, and there's a fire of Gehenna. And the fire in the fireplace, that's Aish. And the fire in Gehenna is not Aish, it's just we call it Aish because it has similarities to our fire.
It burns.
It burns, right. But the real fire is our fire. It's our Aish. There's rivers in Shemayim, there's rivers here. The real rivers are
Shemayim.
Our rivers. No, I'm saying this is what people think. There's a Nahar Dinar. And we have a river. And our rivers, it's the real rivers. And that river is a mushel. You ever heard of a parable? Like the Dubna Magid? The one who was a count, who loved his son very much, and he sent him far away, you know. And the count is a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the son is Klal Yisrael. So there's the mushel and there's the nimshel. The king, there's always a king in a mushel. There's always a king in a mushel. And the nimshel is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the mushel, fire, Gehenna is like fire, it's a mushel. But the nimshel, the interpretation of the mushel is our fire. The shalom says it's prakared, it's ibergedreit. It's pumkapeh. It's lafuch. It's the antithesis. We don't know what Aish is. We don't know what Aish is. We've never met Aish in our life. We don't know what Mayim is. We don't know what a mountain is. We don't know what Shemayim is. We don't know what Aretz is. Any word that's in the Torah, we don't know what it is. Because when there's a word in the Torah, it's referring to something which we've never seen. Ever.
What about Ish?
The Shlach. We have something which we call Ish.
Ish.
We have something which we call it. We've never seen a person.
About Yaakov?
We've never seen a person.
Yeah, Yaakov was a real person.
Okay, we'll talk about Yaakov in a moment, okay? We'll talk about Yaakov in a moment. I'm glad you said that. We'll talk about... We have Aish. What's the definition of Aish? Aish consumes. Aishim breaks apart cohesion. Aishim reverts everything back to its original form. There's no way of resisting Aish. Aish just... Anything that we are familiar with and we know of is a combination of parts. Aish destroys the bond between things. So we have something which you start by taking one rock and banging it against another rock, and then a spark comes out, and it burns down the forest, and Smokey the Bear says, I told you so. And we call that Aish. Why do we call that Aish? The Shlach says this. We call it Aish because you have a piece of wood, which is the sum total of many parts. There's fiber, there's moisture, there's all kinds of, you know, things. And then the fire burns out the moisture, and then you're left with charcoal, which crumbles. Right? So we call that Aish, but that's not Aish. You know, at the end of the day, that wood still exists. It's just black. Right, it's still there. Fire doesn't make anything disappear. But it mimics the Aish. And people, we go through life thinking, to what's Ish? What's Ish? Ish is our nose. This is Ish. We walk around, and it's we that are walking around. We climb, we jump, we're happy, we're sad. And it's you know, we identify with our physical self. And then we all know we have a neshama, but the neshama is, it's you know, oh, it's so far away. It's in that song, you know, come with me, little.
Neshama.
Take my hand, do as you're told. There's a baby waiting to be born again. Here to be his heart, his soul. Our neshama is far away. It's you know, we have one.
If you sing another song.
When the opportunity presents itself, and it's far away. That's not us. After death, we're going to see Anishama. Anishama. Derek Hashem says.
I thought you said we're not Anishama, we're a combination of Anishama and
the good. Yeah, but the main part, I'm told, you know, the Iker, now we're talking about the Iker. The Iker is the Iker existence of a person. This is Anishama.
Okay.
You wanted to find the person? So Yaakov Avinu had a shakas to that. I'm going to give you an example from Megillas Esther. And Mitzvah, when we learn it in the Shir, well, we're going to repeat it. We're going to go back to this. But I want to share something with you with Megillas Esther. The Gemara in Megillas Esther says that when Esther finally revealed herself, because Rabbi asked Esther, who's trying to kill you? Who's trying to destroy you? Me, who's the, you know, me, who's the one? And Esther said those fateful words, Ish, Tsar, Ra'ayim, Haman, Hara, Hazeh. He's a man. He's an oppressor. He's an enemy. He's Haman. He's evil. Hazeh. He's right here. The Gemara says that when she said the words Ish, Tsar, Ra'ayim, she was pointing, she was about to point to Ahasuerus.
She was.
She was pointing to Ahasuerus. And then a Malach came and turned her hand towards Haman. And then she understood that she should finish the sentence, Haman, Razan. But if the Malach hadn't turned her hand away, she would have finished Achashverosh Razan. Does that make sense?
That destroys the whole story.
Does that make sense? It's a good thing that there was a Malach handy at the time. He was quick on the draw. He got her. He took her down before she could ruin everything. Does that make sense?
What was she doing?
Why would she do that? Even if she's thinking it, because...
What was she doing?
She was pointing at Ahasuerus. You are the enemy, Ahasuerus. Who's the one that gave Haman the power to destroy the Jews?
Ahasuerus.
Ahasuerus is not devoid of blame. He's not blameless. He's the power. He's the one. He's the one that stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He married Vashti.
I am looking for him, with him, at him.
So the... Some cipher.
He's looking at me!
Some cipher says... that it says that when Esther went into Mordech to Ahasuerus, this is about Tilbash Esther Malchus.
She wore Malchus?
She raised herself up to a level of majesty. And some services that means that she had Nevuah. And she was no longer in this world. And she was transported to the Makkum of the Beis Ha. It says, Neichach Beis HaMelech. She was opposite, she was standing. Beis HaMelech, the house of the king. What's that? That's the Beis HaMikdash. That means that she entered the Beis HaMikdash. Atilbash Esther Malchus. She garbed herself with royalty. But you already saw where I'm going with this. Neichach Beis HaMelech. She's standing in front of the Beis HaMelech. She's in the Beis HaMikdash. She's saying, Kaylee, Kaylee. Lama Zabtani. Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Azabdani. Why'd you forsake me? The Chassam Sefer says she wasn't in front of Achashverosh. See, normally a person exists on two levels. You hope that he has a spiritual component and a physical component. You know, by Yaakov Avinu it says that the sulam is mutzavarta, the legs of the ladder are on the ground, and the head of the sulam is shemayim. And that's the optimum for a person, that he should exist on both planes. There are people that they only exist arza, but that's very bad. At that moment, Esther had gone so far into the Beis Hamikdash that she lost herself. And she didn't realize that she's physically standing in front of Achashverosh and pointing a finger at him. And Hashem saved her. And Malach pushed her finger away, and then she existed again on both levels. Because Esther is the paradigm of the Iker. The Iker of a person is existing in Shemayim. If you exist in Shemayim, okay, let's get down to it. We got a little bit carried away here. All right, there's such a thing called food. Now, many people, I think way too many people, they view food as a goal in itself. I'm not free of it. We're not free of this. Food is a goal in itself. And they will go to a restaurant that advertises all you can eat sushi. Now, how much sushi exactly do you need in order to function as a well-meaning individual? How much sushi?
A few rolls.
A few rolls of sushi. Three sushis. Four sushis. But it's all you can eat sushi. And how many do you eat when you eat 12? What? 12. So why are you doing that? Yeah. That's not the whole reason. You're eating for the sake of eating. Because why'd you pay for it? You want? Is there any purpose to it? Are you going to feel stronger? No. Are you smarter? No. In fact, people get sick from overeating. It's eating for the sake. You know, in the Roman times, they were the original bulimics. They'd eat. Why'd they do that?
For pleasure.
Eat. To eat. To eat. They ate to eat. Eating to eat is very physical. There's no higher purpose.
Is that to say that you shouldn't go to all you can eat?
You should not. You should not.
So fair, Rabbi, can we just next week after I already went?
You should not go to all you should eat. That's true. I mean, if a guy does it, so it's called being a novel b'shus of Torah. He's disgusting with the permission of the Torah. Yeah? Yeah. It's disgusting with the permission of the Torah. And anyone that's ever gone there, especially with a group of friends, knows exactly what I mean when I say it's disgusting. You play back in your mind all the things that are said during that thing, and it's disgusting.
What if I go with a Rebbe?
What?
I have a room that wants to take us. Shaitan, everyone.
To all you can eat?
Yep.
I'm a vato my das in front of the das if it goes down. And I never said it. I never said it. Okay. I never said it. No, if Rosedale. Rosedale's a Talmud Chacham. He said it, but I never said it. I denied I ever said it. Wherever he wants to take you, you should go. Now, speaking.
Listen, I can't help no matter what I do, man.
Speaking, whether, no, I never said it.
I never said it.
Now, speaking of. Somebody eats because Shabbos. He's full, but he's eating more. I'm saying, you know. I'm not. It's Shabbos, and on Shabbos, you're supposed to pamper your body so that your body realizes that it's a special day, and you should put you in the proper frame of mind and enjoy the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Hashem takes care of you, even though you're not working, and you're celebrating it. That's what kind of eating is that? What kind of person is going to eat like that? Someone that exists in this world, or someone that his head is in Shemayim? Enough examples. Esav wanted the brachas because he wanted hatzlach in this world, and the words of the brachas were words of this world. He wanted it. He wanted hatzlach in this world. To him, the brachas were eternal, all you could eat sushi.
But you eat sushi makes
you get sick. Yeah, I had it, but I was a little kid. My mother used to read me a book. I wish I could get a hold of this book for my kids. There was a box that was in a tree. That tree was high up, and there was a box that was attached to one of the branches of the tree, and there was a rope hanging down from the box, and, you know, reached the ground, and you pulled the rope, the box opened, and there was an ice cream bar inside. And the ice cream bar fell out, you caught it, and you ate it. You pulled the rope again, there was another ice cream bar. It was like a
magic box.
A form of the goose that laid the golden egg, but it was with ice cream bars. I love that book. Esav wants Olam Hazeh to be eternal. And you know what? A lot of us walk around like that. We don't want Olam Hazeh to end. Esav's idea of Gan Eden is Olam Hazeh eternalized, immortalized. You pull the rope and the ice cream bar comes out. And it never ever runs out of ice cream bars. V'yit l'cha alakim mitala shamayim. Unending dew. He wants a soda fountain that dispenses Mountain Dew forever. Mishmati Oled.
Showers that never run out of hot water.
Never run out of hot water. That's why in our yeshiva, Shmuel, we don't want our Talmidim to pick up these
habits.
So that's why we don't do it. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
But Yaakov Avinu, Tala Shemayim Mishmani Oretz, the dew that you wake up in the morning that wets, you know, if you leave out a shirt or on the lawn, you wake up in the morning and it's wet, or the rain, that's only a mushel. That's not dew. That's not dew. That's not rain. Geshem and Tal, that's a mushel. Yaakov Avinu, he sees into the depth. He wants everything. He's not putting his life on the line in order to get dew. Dew, you know what dew is? The Gemara Shabbos says dew is Chiyas HaMeisim. Dew is Chiyas HaMeisim. You know what rain is? Rain is Torah. Of course, rain is rain also. I mean, it is rain. It is. Because Torah has a body and Torah has a soul. So the body of Torah is raindrops, and the soul of Torah is Tyra. And what's the Iker? There's one to my sir. There were two Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, Meir, Akayan Kagan of the city of Radom in Poland, known as the Chomskayim. He had a yeshiva. He wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. He started the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was Rabbi Naftali Trop, or Moshe Lindinsky. He had a yeshiva. I mean, it was his yeshiva. But he didn't give the top gemara share. But he did deal with the students and with their ethics and morals. And he had Talmidim, and two of his more well-known Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman and Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman.
If his name was Yisrael Meir, why was he called the Chofetz Chaim?
Mi is a Chofetz Chaim, Lauren. Mi is Mem Yud, Yisrael Meir. Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, now Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman and the Panovich Rav, The Chofetz Chaim also, he had another institution. He had a kollel. But the kollel those days are not to be confused with the kollel of nowadays. Kollel nowadays, you get married, you can get into a kollel, you can learn what you want. He was made a kollel because Mashiach is imminent, and it's going to be a base of Mikdash. And what are we going to do if we don't know how to bring the Kabbonis? So we have to learn. There was a kollel kachim. And there were daily items that learned in this kollel. It wasn't just a young married person. And they didn't leave, you know. Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman learned this kollel. He didn't even go home to the birth. He left his wife. His wife was, you know, it was a different type of, different model of a kollel, totally different concept than we have nowadays. Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman, he was a kohen. Rabbi Yosef Kohen Kahaneman. They learned never chavrusas in the kollel. So the Talmidim and the Chofetz Chaim. And then we could die them, and then we tell me them in the Chavetz Chaim. Rabbi Chanan eventually started his own yeshiva in the city of Baranowicz in Poland. It was a yeshiva for younger bachurim. He specialized in that. Taking bachurim when they're young, and he wants to set them up with the yeshivas, and they should learn how to learn a Gemara, and then only after knowing the Gemara well, going on to the Taisvus, Rabbi Chanan himself instituted, and this is something the chinuch that people got, you don't look at the Taisvus until you do the Gemara over four times.
With Rashi.
Right, you don't look at the Taisvus, because then you'll understand the Taisvus, and then he would give shir, and he would give them the Havana, and they also covered a lot of ground. You know, like you wanted to, they have to know Gemara Shitaisus in a clear and concise fashion. You know, with the basic questions uncovered and resolved before you go into more complicated things. He was a master. He was a master pedagogue and educator at yeshiva. He's not a guddle. And the biggest people sent their kids to him, you know, he was the one. That is the place. And of course, his graduates went on to the more prestigious, you know, the institutions. And they were prized in all of Europe. But then during Elul, he'd go to Radin, and he'd be in Radin for a shana, for Yom Narayan, to be with his Rebbe, him and the Banovich Rav. So he had Gedali Elul that went to Radin to be with the Rebbe, and leave their family, leave their own yeshiva. It's amazing, and go. And the Chavetz Chaim would speak about tshuva. You speak about responsibility. You speak about cleaning your act up. You speak about Gan Eden, Olam Haba. There's a number of stories about these shmuzim. I mean, in one particular instance, the Panovich Rav told Rabbi Chanan that the Chavetz Chaim gave the exact speech, same speech the year before. And Rabbi Chanan said something that there were four words different this time than last time. But that's not the ma'aseh I want to tell you. The ma'aseh I want to tell you is, you know, some of us think that the Chavetz Chaim, the whole world must have been trying to go to hear the Chavetz Chaim, and you know, they were waiting on every single word, and they were so inspired, and the things he told them changed their life. Just like nowadays, you have big people that they say words of wisdom, and in the audience, you can see people falling asleep or coming away from it saying, I don't know what he said. You know, what did he say that I didn't know already? Or I don't want to use the word boring. But I've heard it. There's big people that have spoken, and I've heard people say after we're there, you know, and they make a movement with the hand. Does the person know what kind of din v'cheshvin he's going to have for that movement with the hand? That he's making mevatel and being mezazel? Dvorim kedoshim, because he's too small to understand it? But that's another story. In the time of the Chavetz Chaim, there were people that didn't understand or didn't appreciate what he said. Because he spoke very pashut. And he didn't start out with 14 questions and then give an answer and say Kabbalah, just Kabbalah. Very pashut. And people didn't, you know, there were people that didn't appreciate it. And they didn't understand what he was saying. And they didn't see it. And Rabbi Chanan, year after year, would sit there, hanging on every single word, every nuance, every single movement that he made. And someone once asked him, what is it about the Chavetz Chaim and what he's saying that you attach so much importance and so much interest, and it seems like you're living from it? He's saying things that everyone knows. People live, we're created in order to pass on to a better existence. There's Gisamesim, Alam Haba, Gan Eden, Schav Einish, Tzadikim Yashvim, Atasayim Bereshayim, Nanim B'Zavashchina, that they're going to be around in a circle, and Hashem is going to be in the middle, and they're going to point, say Zashem Kivin Alay. What is he saying? And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and the Panovich Rav had two different responses for the same question. The Panovich Rav's response was that you have to pay close attention to the words that he uses. Because he gave him a list of questions that are asked in you know, the Svarim of the Gedolei, you know, Kadmonim. I don't know what the questions were. And he said, did you notice the Chofetz Chaim used this word in the sentence? If you explain the Gemara with these words, then that kasha falls down. And this one, then this question falls down. So he took all the combined wisdom of the ages, and he simplified it, and he just said it straight out without telling you the 23 questions that he's answering. And he said, you learn Gemara Shetaisus. Rashi could have a question, Taisus could have three questions. Once you learned it, you give an issue, you read the Gemara, and you read the Gemara the way Taisus would read it after he gives his answer. And it sounds so simple. People, they're bored. Because, okay, you read the Gemara, it makes perfect sense. If you read it the wrong way first, and then you say, according to this, there's a question from this Gemara over here, and you have 5-6 questions, then it's a lot more interesting. And the Chofetz Chaim didn't do that. He just said it straight. And then Rabbi Chanan explained why he's it. He said, you have someone that, let's say you went to a country and you were there and you saw it and you came back, and then someone you knew, he came and he went and saw the same thing and he came back. Or let's say you read a book on a country, let's say you read a book about Majorca. And you know everything there is to know about Majorca. And then you hear that there's a lecturer who's going to speak about Majorca. And then he gets up, and he says, word for word, what's in the book that you just read. So what was the point of that? What do you need him for? You were there. He said, but what if somebody was in Majorca and he comes back, and then he describes it to you, and he puts in his, and he transports you there because he was there. So even though you read it, but it wasn't alive until you met, there really is a Majorca. He said the Chofetz Chaim is not giving us book learning. He's not giving us dry fans. He's there. The Chofetz Chaim is in Gan Eden. He is there. His body is a small part of him, which, Kadosh Baruch Hu put him in this world because he's supposed to accomplish great things with his body. But he's there, every single thought, every single word of time, every single action is, he's viewing himself, I don't want to say imagining, because it's real. He's viewing himself as if he's in Shemayim, standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden, and what's appropriate speech for somebody that's doing that? And what's, and he says, so when he speaks, I see that he's giving over to us. He's an eyewitness. He's there. And you're able to hear from someone that was actually there. So, your teacher gets up and talks to you about the Habdul Elif Albi Abdullah. Your teacher talks to you about the moon landing. All right. I saw a documentary about it. But Neil Armstrong comes. You're going to go. You want to hear from him because he was there. And the Chofetz Chaim is there. It's not just that he was there. He is there. And while he's talking, he's there. And he's talking to us from there. That's what the Derech Hashem means, that the Ikkar, the person, is there, not here. And Esav doesn't realize that. That's right. Okay, that's that paragraph. Okay, right there, progressing. Okay, good. Progressing.
This is awesome. Go ahead.